Welcome to the Let's K-12 Better podcast. My name is Amber Coleman-Mortley, and these are my kids.
Hi!
In our podcast, we will cover a variety of subjects involving K-12 education and family life.
We will talk about the ways that parents, kids, and educators can improve K-12 education and family life.
We encourage you to join our conversation on social media using the hashtag LetsK12Better.
Let's jump into episode 4 of the Let's K-12 Better podcast. Parents, be advised, this episode we briefly discuss Ahmaud Arbery, the runner slain on February 23rd. At the start of shelter in place, we went outside almost every single day. Almost every day for 4 weeks, we went for a walk, stood in the sunlight, played 2-on-2 soccer, or some other fun, active activity for at least an hour. Now, we rarely get outside, and as a former PE and health teacher, I'm actually ashamed. But I'm not sure how or when we fully committed ourselves to this new recluse life. Maybe it's the weight of how long quarantine has been, or the injection of a more structured distance learning routine. Maybe it's fear, or maybe it's this idea that being outside imperils the effort of quarantine to flatten the curve. Whatever excuse we're making for ourselves as a family, our moments outside are reduced to the quick parental sprints to and from the grocery store. A simple Google search will provide a long list of reasons why one should exercise regularly, exercise outdoors, and even exercise in groups. And I agree with the experts. That's why we've tried to be creative with our fitness. We fill our PE requirements with just dance and floor exercises and virtual lacrosse practice, but it's not the same as feeling the wind on your back and the sun in your face. We see being inside as doing our part, doing our civic duty, but the outside world is calling us. The sun, the trees, the warming trends of the spring season, they taunt us. And yet we keep asking, is it safe to be outdoors? As athletes and physically active people, I've noticed that the shift towards a more restrictive movement experience has altered our optimism and enhanced our skepticism. When I ask my kids if they want to go outside, I get a range of responses.
I want to go outside, but what if someone talks to us?
What if another family tries to interact? We don't want to be rude.
We can only do so much outside, so what's the point?
And they're right. Should running or playing in your neighborhood put you or others in danger? Is it safe to be outdoors? There's an element of fear that I've worked hard to shield my kids from. We don't watch the news, but I get the news on my phone. And therefore, they do not know the rising death toll numbers. Instead, they know the personal stories of family and friends who've lost loved ones during this time. As adults, how do we control our own fears? How do we ensure that we are taking precautions without instigating hysteria in our own minds? This is a challenge I wrestle with every day. At one point, I'd had enough. We walked outside and stood in a circle, letting the sun hit our faces for 3 minutes. And moving forward, I've begun to get a bit more creative about being outdoors and being active. Exercising super early, taking more breaks from work and school to move around indoors, and even opening the blinds and the windows to welcome the sun and the fresh air. Getting outside is a form of self-care. As it gets warmer and nature draws us all outside, I encourage families to practice the precautions required of us to flatten the curve. States are starting to open. Use this as an opportunity to mindfully enjoy being outdoors. Express gratitude for community spaces like sidewalks and parks. Continue to wear masks when in public places and stay 6 feet away from others. But also, don't be afraid to go out and go for a walk or a run together. I'd be remiss if I did not acknowledge that as I encourage people to practice self-care by going outside as a family to enjoy their community, that a Black man attempting to do the same was murdered on February 23rd. Ahmaud Arbery would have been 26 years old on February 8th, but while out jogging, he was assaulted and killed by Gregory McMichael and his son Travis. The McMichaels got in their car, used their guns, and killed their fellow citizen. And had it not been for video footage that surfaced and circulated on social media, none of us would be privy to the February incident. Running without being assigned predatory or threatening characteristics is a privilege. To enact mob justice and Wild West tactics to ensure the safety of your community against a suspected outsider is also a privilege. A privilege typified and recast through acts like those against Tamir Rice, Sandra Bland, Trayvon Martin, Philando Castile, Michael Brown, and Emmett Till. As we talk to our kids about situations like this, we must acknowledge that through the Second Amendment of the Constitution, we have rights. A well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. The right to bear arms, or the right to guns, granting us protections against the tyranny experienced by the framers of the Constitution pre-independence. However, the Constitution does not grant individuals the right to be judge, jury, and executioner of their fellow Americans. In fact, Ahmaud Arbery and those I named, whose assailants giving the claim that they were threatening or up to no good, were in fact eliminated before they were granted the manifestation of their constitutional rights through the Sixth Amendment, the right to a quick and speedy trial, the right to a lawyer, the right to an impartial jury, and the right to know who your accusers are and the nature of the charges and evidence against you. So as my daughters and I think about how we should approach getting outside and getting more exercise, the ways we want to acknowledge the beauty of the nature around us, and our enjoyment of fresh air and running together as a family, one thought is front of mind. Is it safe to be outdoors? Okay, so we're going to have just a really quick conversation about whether it's safe or not to be outdoors, right? And like, what do we think about this? My first question is, is it safe to be outside?
Is it?
What do you think?
I think it's safe to be outside because even though it's coronavirus, some people can wear protection like masks and go running or something, or just like, or even just go outside, do a little, like even like 10-minute walking. And I think it's not safe because what if someone just walks up to you and like touches you, mm-hmm. and like what if someone touches you and you don't like want to be touched and like that you don't know if they're sick?
Yeah, that's true. That is true. What do you think?
I think it's not safe to go outside because there's many other people now. There's more people walking. So as we're like doing whatever, people are like walking by us, maybe not touching us, but like breathing our air.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. How about you?
I could see both sides of the spectrum. On one point, we have going outside and like getting the vitamins and nutrients and minerals we need from the sun and getting the playtime we need that we can't just get at home. But also, like Garvey said, you could get sick because other people, you don't know if they've already gotten sick or they're at a higher risk of getting sick than you. And if they do get sick and you're walking around them and you're walking around large groups of people, that's like a big no-no.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. You guys brought up some really excellent, excellent points here about whether or not it's safe to be outside. So our next question is, what is the worst thing about being indoors all day? What's the worst thing about being indoors all day?
I think the worst thing is that we don't get a lot of exercise. And even though we play, like, those video games where you, like, move around, like, Just Dance and, like Wii Sports, it's not the same because when you're outside, you're playing with your friends, everyone's together, but, like, it's just not the same because you're usually just stuck indoors with your family.
So being indoors with us is the worst thing?
No, just like you just in there all the time with the same people every day.
I get it. Okay. What's the worst thing about being indoors?
Inside, there's no breeze. There's no sunlight. There's no shade. It's just inside. So.
Oh, there's shade. Y'all throw mad shade. No?
I love you. Never mind.
Garvey, I'm sorry. I'll just edit that out. Okay. All right. So as people start going outside more, because states are starting to open, right? And the weather is literally calling us all out. What do you worry about the most?
I say I worry about when more stores start to open up because people, like, there's, like, even though we're not, like, quarantine is starting to lift in places, but we need to remember that we're still in quarantine. Like, say, people say quarantine's gonna lift in like, a week. That doesn't mean quarantine just now lifted. You need to be mindful of that because when more people start going out, more stores are going to open up, and then there's going to be a higher risk that we could catch it again, even, like, especially if you don't go out when quarantine ends.
So just because quarantine is lifted doesn't mean that the virus has disappeared.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Cool. How about you?
I worry about... I worry about most that people, when they come, or even when they come out the doors, or when they come from a plane or a train, so I worry about people that, even though they don't know if they went outside with something, right, or with their wallet or something, and wallets have money, so you can get the most coronavirus from that because money has been everywhere.
You got a point here where it's like people are going to be exchanging things like money, and so you're saying, like, you worry about people, like, exposing each other to germs just by touching things like money. Did I sum up your point correctly?
Yeah.
Okay. So I'm gonna ask you, do you think that people have learned their lesson? Why not?
Because still there's some people who don't even care. Some people are rioting and stuff just so they can get back in the government. I understand that people are lost their jobs and they need to go to work because their family needs money. But if you do riot to open the government, they're going to do it because there's, like, you know, and people are going to die more. It's going to be a higher rate of people dying because people are more exposed to other people, like.
That's a very, very good point. All right. So the next part that I'm going to say is, do y'all want to go to the pool this summer? Why or why not?
I have two sides. First, I want to go to the pool because, like, maybe there's a possibility that it's all clean and they all cleaned it. But there's also a possibility that they probably cleaned up, but there's still a possibility that some of the stuff, no one's been to the pool for at least a year, a school year. So,
it's probably still dirty, even though they cleaned it.
Well, once they clean the pool, it'll be fine, but people have to keep coming to the pool. So it's the maintenance of the cleaning that's probably the most concerning.
I don't want to go to the pool this summer, but then again, the pool might not open this summer.
Wow. Yeah, that's a bummer. How about you? What do you think about the pool?
I don't want to go to the pool this summer, even though we have, like, some traditions that are at the pool. Like, we go to the pool every year on Sophia's birthday. But we shouldn't really go to the pool. Like Garvey said, it's not, and Sophia said, it's not necessarily clean.
So let's say we don't go to the pool. Like, let's say we don't go to the pool, you know, we minimize our vacation time. Like, what are some things that we should do for fun this summer?
For fun, we could like indoor camp, like sleep in the living room together, watch movies, and like maybe like roast some marshmallows on the stove.
That would actually be fun. All right. What do you think? What are some fun activities?
We could have a staycation.
What's like, a staycation?
A staycation is kind of like what Sophia says, kind of like a camp, but like instead of just camping out, you can like hang out wherever and do whatever, eat snacks, watch movies, play games, and like hang out with your family. Cool. In your house. And the convenience is it doesn't cost a lot of money because you're mainly in your house.
That's cool. What are some other things? Do you have anything? Well, you know, maybe, you know, go to the museum, right? Like, maybe during off hours, we can go to the museum. Maybe we can obviously go to the park or go for walks, go to the zoo. That's another one that's cool.
On my birthday.
Yeah, we did go to the zoo on your birthday that year. That was awesome.
It was the only year we didn't go to the pool for my birthday.
I know, crazy. But it was also raining that day. All right, here we go. So we got a couple more questions. Actually, we just have one question. So we talked about what happened with the runner Ahmad Arbi. We talked about it as a family. We talked about it a little bit. I'm going to start with you. How does this whole scenario, like, how does it make you feel?
It makes me feel bad for his mom because the person that she made was killed by not even doing anything.
Yeah, that's that is. How about you?
I feel like it's not safe to go outside because you don't know if that's gonna happen to you. You just don't know. Now people are gonna be afraid because of what they heard on the news.
It makes me feel kind of empathetic for his family because it was recently Mother's Day, so their family's probably going through a lot because they keep, even though it was like a few months from now, they keep hearing about it and like seeing it on the news and like online. So they must be like very tormented by it and don't want to see it because it's such a bad thing that they have to go through this.
Yeah, that's true. I have a question. You know, people might say, oh, why is she talking to her kids about, you know, a black man who was slain while running, right? Like, that's an inappropriate topic for discussion. Are kids able to talk about stuff like this? Like, what do you think?
Actually, you'd be surprised because sometimes, like, if something happens, like, maybe your kids could be the only ones you could talk to. And actually, they can be pretty empathetic and pretty understanding of the situation if you just try to, one, explain it better, and two, let them have a say in some decisions that you make as a family, and that can help with better situations and better understanding of the situation, but it can also help you understand your kids better.
That's awesome. So family discussions are really, really important, even if the topics make you feel like uncomfortable or upset or sad. because you're processing them together as a family. Awesome.
Maybe if your kid is older and they have access to social media, maybe they already know about it before you knew, from their friends, from whatever. Maybe they already knew.
So kids actually probably are already attuned to the things that are happening in the world around them. And so as a parent, it's kind of your responsibility to talk to your kids about
what they saw.
Yeah, what they saw and important things like this, right? Okay, cool. I want to ask you a question. Should parents tell kids how to feel, or should they, what should they do? Like, what should a parent do? Should a parent just say, this is how you feel about it, or something else? What should parents do when they're talking to their kids about this kind of stuff?
I think that they should let them express what they feel, because everyone has different opinions and they feel different about opinions. So I think that, also they can, let their children talk to your other children, maybe, and talk to you, maybe, because, maybe they're expressing something that you don't know.
That's really important. I think that that's a really great point. That is a great point. All right. So I think we had a really great discussion today, guys. Thank you guys so much. We challenge families to have a discussion about whether it is safe to go outside. You know, is your state opening up? What do you guys feel about that? How are you planning to spend your time together this summer? If you have any cool epiphanies that you'd like to share, please leave them in the comments or share them on social media. And just so you know, our family does not leave any topic on the table. We discuss any and everything that we feel is important, and we encourage families to do the same.
Each episode, we will share quotes that we find inspirational, and we will share what we think they mean.
Alec Weck is a South Sudanese British model and designer who began her fashion career at the age of 18. She is from the Dinka ethnic group in South Sudan and fled to Britain in 1991 to escape the Civil War. Her quote is, "For me, there had never been one definition of beauty."
What does this quote mean to you?
I think it means that everyone's beautiful or handsome in a different way, because even if they're disabled or they have special needs, they're still beautiful.
That's right. So everyone has their own form way of expressing the beauty that is in them. That's awesome.
My quote comes from Alexandra Ocasio-Cortez, who is originally from Puerto Rico. She's known to be the youngest woman ever to serve in the USA Congress as a Democratic politician. She is a U.S. representative for New York's 14th Congressional District. My quote is, "Our goal is to leave no person behind as we venture into a secure and better future."
What does this quote, what does it mean to you?
It means to me that as we're changing our lives to fit into the future, we shouldn't leave out any element of life, or we shouldn't forget to change other groups. We shouldn't change one group more than we should change the other. We should change each group the same.
So we should bring everybody along on the change train?
Yes.
My quote is by Justice Sonia Sotomayor, an American lawyer and jurist who serves as an Associate Justice of the Supreme Court of the United States. She was appointed by President Barack Obama in May of 2009. Confirmed that in August, she was the first Hispanic and Latina judge. My quote is, "I do know one thing about me. I don't measure myself by others' expectations or let others define my worth." Sonia Sotomayor.
What does this quote mean to you?
It means you shouldn't compare yourself to others and be happy with being yourself.
Gail Tsukuyama is an American novelist. She was one of 9 fiction authors to appear during the first Library of Congress National Book Festival. Her quote, "Don't ever think that just because you do things differently, you're wrong." What do these quotes mean to you? What's your favorite from the ones that we've shared? Let us know on social media using the hashtag #LetsK12Better.
Thank you for listening to the Let's K-12 Better podcast.
Please like, subscribe, and share.
We want to hear from you. Connect with us on social media at Mom of All Capes everywhere and follow the Let's K-12 Better podcast on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Share your thoughts about this episode using the hashtag #LetsK12Better. That's LetsK12Better. You can find us on your favorite podcasting app.
See you next time.